There are many activities, my friends, that you and I engage on a regular basis. Some of those activities have a greater impact on our lives and our legacy. Others may have a little less impact. For example, I think you would agree with me that the type of foods you eat on a daily basis will have a greater impact on your life than you simply responding to some Facebook post about what someone else ate. You see how you don't have to respond to anything three times a day, but you do have to eat in order to survive, right? That's a basic need. So this is also a principle that applies to businesses and corporations. Often businesses and institutions engage in different levels of assessments in which they look at some of their activities, how they are allocating funds and personnel and resources into what type of activities. They are usually looking to allocate more resources to activities that have the higher impact, right? So as to be good stewards and to have the best market share possible, if you will. And that is also something that we can apply to the church. We have to also look at what activities are we engaging in and how much of an impact are they having in their overall direction and culture and mission of the church. Now, when it comes to each of us, my friends, as individual disciples and followers of Jesus, I would argue that there's one activity that you and I are called to engage in that has an incredible amount of impact. It's one activity that is so impactful that not only does it impact people's lives here and now, but most importantly, it will impact people's eternal future. I mean, think about it. What would life be 500 years from now if we're still here, if Jesus hadn't come? So this activity that we are getting ready to share with you can impact even that far into the future, even beyond that. The activity that I'm referring to is, of course, reaching the world, preaching the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus, sharing the message of Jesus with the world. Now, in our new series, which we began last week, called In and Out Church, we are discussing some principles and some key ideas for us as a church, as a body of believers, and how we have to keep in balance this idea of being in and out. By in, we mean the activities that we engage in that serve to nourish us, to help us grow spiritually once we become followers of Jesus. Now, there are also some activities that could be classified in the out, if you will, because they have to do with outside, reaching the world, reaching the unchurched, reaching those who don't yet know Jesus. So we want to be in and out. We want to be an in and out church. Because healthy churches engage in both, and they keep that balance between the two, because when churches only concern themselves with the activities of in, such as fellowship and potlucks and dinners and worship and small groups and so on, that's wonderful and we need that, but that when that is all we do, then we run into the risk of not reaching new people, and thereby falling short of God's call for us to reach the world and those around us. Now, conversely, in the same way, when all churches do is reach out, but no, there's not much going on to strengthen us in, then we are a little lopsided. So we want to grow both in depth and width, right? We want to keep that balance between in our church as we continue to move forward. Last week, Pastor Jackie led us in a wonderful message about an important aspect of the in church, which is worship. We gather to worship the Lord together, and some of you are watching us online. You will also be a part of this because you are gathering with us to worship the Lord. And this morning, we will explore one activity that relates to the out aspect of church. Our scripture this morning comes from Mark 16, 15 and 16, and I would like for us to read it together. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. This is another version of what we know as the Great Commission, which we find in the book of Matthew chapter 28. And when we come to the book of Mark, the early Christians believed that John Mark, an associate of Peter and later a companion of the Apostle Paul, that he wrote this book. A main focus of the Gospel of Mark is presenting Jesus as the suffering Son of Man and also the Son of God. At the beginning of our chapter, chapter 16, you might remember the story. Some women went to anoint Jesus' body with spices. They had prepared some spices and they were ready to go and anoint his body. But when they got to the tomb, they were surprised because they found that the stone that was covering the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. Now, when they went into the tomb, of course, Jesus wasn't there. And an angel met them and told them that the one whom they were seeking was not dead, but alive. A short while later, after appearing to some of his disciples, Jesus gave them the command that we just read. The command, the mandate, the imperative to go and announce the gospel. And this command to preach, to announce, to proclaim, to share the good news with others, it's a command for you and I as well, my friends, since we too are followers of Jesus. Now, as we look at our text, as we consider what the text told us, I believe that there are two important questions that we need to ask of the text or from the text if we are to be faithful in engaging this command. If we are to obey what Jesus is calling us to do, I believe that there are two basic ideas, two basic things that we need to understand from the passage. Number one, what is the good news? What is the good news? What is the gospel? Which is another way of referring to the good news. If you look at the New Testament, my friends, especially the four gospels, you will find that a main theme of Jesus' preaching was the kingdom of God. He would say things like, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark chapter 1, in Matthew 4, 23, the Bible says that he went around preaching, teaching, and healing, and he was preaching the kingdom of God. That's actually John the Baptist began to preach that in Matthew 3, that the kingdom of God was close. And then Jesus picked up that same theme in Matthew 4, and he began to preach. That was the main theme of Jesus' preaching, the coming, the arrival of the kingdom of God. Now, when we talk about the great new, good news of the gospel, we are talking about an idea that is embedded in this bigger idea of the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, think about this for just a moment. When Jesus came, he brought with him a new kingdom from another world, he brought with him a new message, a new hope. He brought with him hope for the now and hope for the future. He brought with him a new paradigm for living our lives. He brought so much. Not only did he bring message of the kingdom, he also brought the power of the kingdom, because the Bible says he went around doing good and healing and preaching and casting out demons. So he brought a full package. So this good news, what is the good news that the passage is talking about as we read? There are different sides of the good news, but let me just share a few with us. It is good news to the whole world that in Christ we can be free from the power of sin. Romans 6:14. Think about it. The Bible is clear, my friends, that if you are not a follower of Jesus, if you have not placed your trust in Jesus, you are under the domain of the devil. If you have not acknowledged Jesus as your Savior, you are not yet a child of God, because the Bible says in John 1:12 that to those who received Jesus, God gave them the authority or the privilege, the right to become children of God. So it is good news that in Christ, people can be free from the power of sin, the power that controls them, that keeps them bound to sinful behaviors, to sinful practices, and a sinful lifestyle. Now, let's be clear. This is both a crisis and also a process, because when we come to Jesus, we are free from the shackles, from the power of Satan. Yet we are growing into the image of Christ. We continue to grow and grow and grow in Him. But it is good news to share with someone that, hey, if you come to Jesus, sin will lose its power over you. You will no longer be a prisoner to sin. It is also good news, my friends, that in Christ we can have hope for the future. Titus 2:13. That's a big word now, hope. There are so many people hopeless. And this is probably closely related to the absence of absolute truth in some regards, because since, think about it, if you have no truth, what can you hold on to when you are not solid, when you have no truth to hold on to anchor your boat? You can't be, you will have no hope. You will have nowhere to turn. So in Christ, it is good news that in Christ and through Christ, people can have hope for now, for the future, and for now as well. Isaiah 41:10. When we come into this relationship with God through this covenant with Jesus, through this new covenant, we then become part of the family of God, my friends. Now, make no mistake, God is good and gracious to all people. The Bible says that the sun shines upon us all, whether we are Christians or not. Nevertheless, by virtue of our relationship with Jesus, we come into a covenant. We become part of God's family. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, that we who were far off in Christ, we have come close. We have come near to God now. Because sin separates us from God. That's why God hates it so much. So the sin problem has been dealt with. Jesus paid the price for our forgiveness, for the sins of the whole world. All we have to do is receive Him. And then that barrier that stood between you and God, between us and God, is removed. Now we have free access to God the Father. So what is the good news? The good news is also that we can have new identity in Christ. Romans 8:17. We now become, we through Christ, and as we receive Him, as we come to Him, we pass from being children of wrath to being the children of God. We move on from being afraid of what would happen to us if we died, into, in some degrees, you know, being really hopeful. Hey, I know that when I move on, I know what awaits me. I'll be in the presence of God. So we receive a new identity. We are now called the children of God. Now, let me tell you, not everyone can say that. Not everyone can say that. There are so many people afraid today because they have nowhere to turn. But we don't have to be that way. We are not that, because we have a relationship. The God of the universe is also our Father. I mean, what a thought. So it is good news that through this relationship with Jesus, through receiving Jesus, people can come into this covenant, into this relationship. It is good news that we, through Christ, can become part of God's family, a new family. We all have family members that we get along more than with others. But through Christ, we become part of this wonderful family. Did you know that you have many family members in heaven right now, whether they were part of your blood family or not? Because we belong to the family of heaven, to the family of God. They're watching from the grandstands, I think the Bible says in Hebrews 11. They might be rooting for us. Hey, you can do it. Keep following Jesus. Keep telling others. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Now they're enjoying the glories of God over there. And to be fair, to be truthfully biblical, they are far better than we are because they are free from pain, from all anxiety, from all distress. We'll join them. But for now, it is our turn to share with others this good news of Jesus. It is good news, my friends, that in Christ people can have wholeness. Maybe not full perfection in this life, but there is wholeness available to us. I believe that through the atonement, through what Jesus did on the cross, a physical healing is available to us as well. Mental wholeness, emotional wholeness. Now the ultimate healing is when we move on to the next life. That doesn't mean that we will not experience sickness and diseases and problems in this life, but we can have peace and wholeness on our way to heaven. So those are just some of the things that have to do with the meaning of the good news of the kingdom of God, with the new good news that Jesus has called us to share with others. You know, sometimes when we think about preaching the gospel, we might think about or maybe images of maybe a preacher, you know, sweating and just waving a Bible, you know, scaring people to hell and all of those things. Now, hell is real. Please make no mistake. We have to talk about it because it is a real place. The Bible says it is. Jesus talked about it a great deal. But also, the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So we have to share with people the goodness of God. Yes, we don't want to hide that those who don't believe, as we read, will be condemned. Because it is what the Bible teaches. But we have to share the goodness and the love and the hope and the mercy of God with people. Essentially, the good news, my friends, means that in and through Christ, no longer do people have to be separated from God. They can now enjoy this relationship with Him. They can now come into relationship with the God of the universe and be called children of God, a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. Now, the second question that we ought to ask from our text is this: what does it mean to preach? What does it mean to preach? Maybe that idea could be misunderstood, because when we think about preaching again, thoughts of somebody just yelling and screaming, or, you know, sweating with a handkerchief, or maybe under a tent. I don't know, whatever ideas you may have. Nothing wrong with a tent. I'd like to do some tent revival someday. But that is not the full picture of it. Did you know that you can preach the gospel using your phone? Because to preach simply means to announce, to declare, to share a message with others. We have to be careful now in our churches that we have said sometimes, you know, preach the gospel always, when necessary, use words. I think that quote is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And there's some truth to that. However, the gospel by nature is proclamational. You cannot preach the gospel without words or without using a message, some type of communication means or device. You can use the gospel to preach. You can preach the gospel using your phone, using a printed page, a tract. I don't know, those may be a little outdated for some people, but I'm the product of a gospel tract. I think I might have shared that with you before. I was sitting on my grandma's porch, and a lady walked by, and she handed me a tract and said, "Jesus loves you," and kept walking. And I read it, and I thought, man, I'm lost. The Holy Spirit went to work by just that simple tract, about this big. So the printed page is powerful. So don't be afraid to share a gospel tract with somebody or a scripture verse. You never know how God can use that to convict somebody, to share, to minister to someone. So what does it mean to preach? It means to announce, to share the message of Jesus with others. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to quote, you know, half of the New Testament to do this. Just share your own experience. What has Jesus done for you? That's one thing that you have that no one else has. Your unique experience with Jesus. That is so powerful. We are all called to share the gospel. We are all called to share Jesus with others. You might say to yourself, me? Absolutely. If not you, then who? You know, I love the words from this song by the Gators. Maybe some of you know these songs, but I love it. This is why we have to preach the gospel. Listen to these words. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. On the cross, he died for sinners, and his blood makes white as snow. Loving, living, coming Savior, he's the one you ought to know. Amen. Now, what does that look like in our lives, my friends, in practical terms, in practical daily living? It might look very differently for each of us. We have different temperaments, different relationships. We move about in different circles. So preaching the gospel, again, might take different shapes for each of us. But the imperative is that we engage in some form of sharing Jesus with others. If all you can share is what he has done for you, that is more than enough. If you don't know the whole Bible, that's fine. I'm still learning too. Share what you know. Share your experience with him. You don't need a pulpit. You don't need a platform. You already have one. Your relationships, they're great platforms from which you can speak into people's lives. You might have a friend that is going through a really tough time, and you might just simply send him or her a text with an encouraging Bible verse. That's a way of preaching Jesus. You might find yourself here at Palm Valley Golf Course trying to improve your game. And you might need a new friend. You might meet a new friend that is about to go into some kind of surgery. And you know, you might just say, hey, can I pray for you? I have yet to meet one person who has refused prayer. Especially when they are going through some situation. I have not met one person that you ask, can I pray for you? And they said, no. When they are going through something, all of us are open to what God may do in our lives. Maybe it is that neighbor that is going through a crisis with their family or their house or whatever. You might simply offer to pray for them. Maybe you also might invite that family or a friend or neighbor to family night to have fun with us, to come and be a part of this community. God can minister to them through that ministry. Some of you will have the opportunity to announce the good news from a microphone, and that is great, of course, and that is another way of preaching the gospel. But my point is, there are different ways to do this. My friends, each of us, we are called to share Jesus with others. And sharing the good news about Jesus is one of the most impactful things we will ever do. One of the most impactful activities that you and I can never engage. Why? Why is this the case? Because there's so much at stake. There's so much at stake. Hear again our passage from our scripture this morning and consider, my friends, the eternal consequences of what Jesus has called us to do. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Notice verse 16. Everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So let us be encouraged, my friends. Whatever our circles of influence might be, let us share Jesus with others. People are in desperate need of hope and love and acceptance and ultimate meaning for their lives that can only be found in and through a relationship with the only one, His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go and preach, share, announce, tell someone, just one person, about the Lord Jesus Christ. the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you have called us to preach, to engage in this wonderful activity of sharing Jesus with others. There's so much at stake. There's so much at stake. I pray right now that you show us one person in our circles. Each of us, just that one person. Show us one person that we might be able to share Jesus with, that might be struggling or that simply is completely lost and without hope in this world, just like your word says. Show us that person. It might be that neighbor. It might be that cash register at the store that we have engaged in conversations with. It might be that dentist or that receptionist at the last business that we went to that we engage in conversation with. Show us who that person is. Each of us, we have circles of influence in which there are people who need Jesus. I pray that you show us, even right now, who those people are. And give us the boldness, Lord, give us the boldness and the love and the grace to share with them, to step out and share with them, not worrying about saying it all right and having it all together, but just taking that step of faith and sharing what we do know, what we have experienced in and with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.